Welcome to Talking Shit, where we are talking all about Schitt's Creek. I'm Jess Sterling, and of course, joined here with my co-host, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
I'm really good. We're finally doing this.
We're doing it. It's happening. We've made it.
It's been months in the work. Like, it feels like we've been talking about this for the longest time. And I was like, yeah, are we ever going to get around to it? Maybe, maybe. And then the other day, I finally got to watch the pilot after months and months of being told, no, 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 you can't watch it until we actually podcast about it. So here we are.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure we first had this conversation, I want to say like November or December of last year. Like, it really has been quite a few months. And so for those who aren't aware, who don't know us, hi, I'm Jess Sterling. That is Stuart. We're going to be talking about Schitt's Creek. I've seen the whole show. Stuart hasn't seen any of it beyond the pilot, obviously, for this podcast. But yeah, we originally, if you are here because you like Posho Recaps, you are like familiar with us from Posho Recaps, welcome. Originally, the plan was we were going to go from the old podcast Community Building, where my friend Josh and I watched the show Community, and I had seen all of it. He had seen none of it. We were going to transfer that into like a Schitt's Creek version of the same sort of thing with Stuart coming on board. Obviously, if you know anything about Posho Recaps, it is going away. It is closing its doors after 10 years. And so we were like, well, we still really want to do this project. Like, we still are really excited about it. So we're going to find our way to do a way to do it anyway. And so that's what brings us here now to this podcast, Stuart.
And I'm so excited that we actually are progressing with it, because the thought of not being able to cover the show is something that I hadn't really considered, because I've been kind of like thinking about it and thinking, okay, well, like, I've got to formulate kind of like thoughts and opinions on everything that's going on. I've got to like perhaps theorize. I'm not sure if it's going to be that kind of show or anything
like
that.
It's not. I will say, like, certainly you can theorize, but it's certainly not like a mystery box show like Lost, Yellow Jackets, any of those types of shows where you're like, oh, what's going to happen?
You mean this isn't just one huge mystery show? I quit. No. No, I'm not expecting that from this, but like, you know how you can kind of like really sucked into these kind of shows and their stories, and that you end up falling in love with the characters, and you kind of like The Office, you're like Jim and Pam of it all, like kind of, you will they, won't they, kind of, or when will they, kind of more of that kind of thing. So that's what I'm hoping to get out from this at the very least.
Yeah, I'd say you're in for a treat, specifically because like, this is, when I look back now at like some of my favorite sitcoms, this one is up there. And I think the reason it is because I don't think it's not like, it doesn't fall into the usual traps that I think a lot of sitcoms do, where you do have the will they won't they of like Jim and Pam, but for like way too long. Like, it goes on for so long that you get so annoyed with it. And the other part about this show that I really like is the fact that it didn't go on for that many seasons where we all got like sick and tired of it. They're shorter, manageable seasons. And this is a really rare occurrence where I personally feel like, I know a lot of other people feel the same way, it really gets better with each season, which is so rare. Like, that you can end the series and still be so in love with it. Most of the time you're like, okay, like, I'm looking at my watch, like, are we done with the show yet? When is it going to get canceled? And I do think this one is a little bit different in that it's really enjoyable the whole way through.
It seems to be a bit of a kind of newer phenomenon with shows, that they're actually finding the kind of like right pace for when to end. Like, this has come about like from shows like The Good Place, for example, that kind of, I think, ended perfectly. And it's encouraging to hear it with this, because that's often the biggest problem with shows, is that you're there just going, I'm watching this out of obligation, not because I actually enjoy it.
Yeah, like completionist reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so this one is a little different than that in that way. Of course, it's also a Canadian sitcom. We are going to be having Canadian guests because, as you could probably tell, neither one of us is Canadian. So that's, we have to have some experts come on and help us out. But at the top of the podcast, I just want to say, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast, Talkin' Shit without a G, S-C-H-I-T-T, like the show. That's where you can find us. Follow us on social media at Talkin' Shit. Of course, we're also on YouTube. We have a cute little background graphic and you could see us talking. So you could follow us there. You could see my office background. Just like, forget it's there sometimes, okay? There's a lot happening back there. But you can watch us on YouTube. And of course, if you want to send in any feedback at any point in time about any of the episodes, first of all, just make sure in the subject title you put what episode you're referring to so as not to spoil Stuart. But email us.
I will read everything.
Exactly. So don't spoil him. Okay. Like, just be cool, guys. Be cool. Cause there are certain things he does not know about, which are going to be really exciting when we get to it. So email us podcast@talkingshit.com. Rate, subscribe, like, all of those things really, really helps us out in the beginning to get more eyes and ears on the podcast. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about kind of like how this podcast came to be, Stuart, because I've seen the show at least 4 times. Like, I've certainly seen it. Yeah. And I've certainly seen it, like, you know, I feel like this happens a lot where when you get into a rewatch, so you drop off at some way, you know, at some point through. So I've certainly seen the beginning seasons more than the end seasons. And that's not because of the quality. It's just because I have like ADHD brain and I just like jump from thing to thing constantly. So that is kind of my history with the show. And you, like, what do you know about Schitt's Creek?
I think I kind of often said that I feel like I've watched the show through GIF form, because it's like
so many GIFs.
You search for any topic on GIFs, like on Giphy or whatever it is you're like chatting on. Schitt's Creek is like the number one result for everything. There seems to be a reaction GIF for anything that you choose. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've seen a lot of things. I know that there's a thing, I want to say, with Moira and birds or something, and okay, like she has a lot of wigs. I know that there's wigs involved. And I'm assuming, because of what we've seen already in the kind of episode, that there is this kind of like perhaps an arc going on of like, oh, they stop being entitled rich turds and actually become likable people, right, perhaps. But other than that, I know nothing. And it's really kind incredible. Of weird how I've avoided it.
Yeah, especially because, and again, this is like the algorithms learn our habits and everything, but my TikTok is so much Schitt's Creek. Like, so much of my social media is Schitt's Creek. Like you said, the GIFs, GIFs are just so popular, and they're so well done because of like the words on them and everything, I feel like are really well done. So I use them a ton. But yeah, I'm like, I do think there are certain things that I'm a little surprised that you don't know about. And it could be one of those things where you don't know that you know it right now, and maybe you will, but I still think the reveals of those specific like plot points or moments in the show are going to be so fun to explore, because there are a lot of them. And in rewatching the pilot, I kind of realized that for some reason I'm very attracted to shows that have like a very rich family that goes through like trial and tribulation. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Oh my God, I need to search out for the Succession edits now. There must be something out there just coming over the Succession theme with this show, which would be wild.
Yeah. And I will say, to ease anyone's, you know, if everyone's nervous because they're like, I don't want to watch a show like Succession, the people become likable, like very, very quickly. So don't worry about it. Like, yes, they're very like rich and like a-holes in this beginning episode, but it's a pilot, they have to set things up. So I will say, like, going into this episode, I think the pilot is a decent pilot in like setting up what it's doing for the whole series. Certainly not one of the better episodes of Schitt's Creek, in my opinion.
Okay, so yeah, I didn't think, like, kind of, not to kind of like jump into it too early and stuff, but I thought that it was a kind of decent pilot. Set up everything that you'd want to know. It went on a really kind of like simple trajectory. Like, within the first minute, I think I knew exactly what was going on and where we would be going with it. I mean, you can't have a title like Schitt's Creek and not expect that joke to be had, but like, you kind of, it does everything that it needs to do, which is kind of set everything up. That's the basis of a good pilot. You want it to be fairly kind of, you don't want to do too much, you don't want to cram too much in, you don't want to overload people, confuse them. You want it to be nice, easy, and enjoyable, and for that I thought it kind of worked really well.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where I think once you already know what's going on, once you have your characters, they're living in the motel, which is where they're going to be hanging out. You know, that's where we could get into like the good stuff, the meat and potatoes of the series. But just for some formatting stuff, so everyone knows kind of how the podcasts are going to work, we're going to do one episode a week. We generally are recording on Wednesdays, releasing on Fridays. So if you want to send in feedback, just make sure you do it by Wednesday. They're going to be shorter podcasts. This one's going to be probably a little longer than most, just because we're kind of setting things up. You know, we have some housekeeping to do, but generally we're looking to keep them to like a tight 45. You know, this is a sitcom. We don't need to talk for an hour and a half about a 20-minute episode of television for the most part, right? Maybe occasionally if there's like a really big episode.
But, you mean you don't want like the 3-hour episodes of like podcasts for one episode of Succession?
Yeah, seriously. The thing is, I can talk, right? It's not anybody who's heard me on a podcast knows I could chat at length about pretty much anything, but that's not necessarily what we need to be doing for a show like Schitt's Creek. So we're going to try to keep things short, keep things moving. We're usually going to like start off the podcast with a little bit of a recap of what happened, just in case you're just listening to the podcasts and not watching the episodes, which is totally cool. Thank you. Then we'll go into some feedback. We have some ratings and stuff, some MVPs, LVPs we're going to be doing. And we're going to tier rate the episodes as well. Because when we had a lot of discussions before the podcast, Stuart, on like, what do we think is the best way to like, you know, if we want to do some ranking system, how is the best way to do it? And we said like tier ranking feels like a nice middle ground because you don't have to remember necessarily every single detail of every single episode in order to put them in these tiers.
Yeah, and I think, like, if you get into the whole kind of, like, giving it a score, scores fluctuate. Like, recency bias is a thing, especially if the season is going to get better as it goes along. Then, of course, we're going to be like, well, this was the best thing I've ever seen because it's, like, recent and it's new. Whereas when you're kind of, like, tier ranking and you can say, like, oh, okay, well, I'm putting this above, say, putting episode 4 against episode 3, I know it fits better or worse, so it's nice and easy to do. And I kind of like the idea of just banding them together. No one gets left out that way. Unless one is fully shit out of luck, in which case, well, that's going to get awkward.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, I'm like, are there any episodes that are going to fall into that category? Like, I can't remember an episode of Schitt's Creek where I was like, oof, like, I really dislike this. Like, I'm talking, like, people hate Scott's Tots from The Office. You know, like, people hate that episode.
But this is the thing. It's one of those ones where you have to, Scott's Tots particularly, where you have to like kind of gear yourself up for it. You either are in that mood to watch it or you're not. It's a skippable one and totally understandable, but you can't deny it's a good episode.
Oh yeah, I fully agree. Yeah. I'm on the Scott's Tots is a great episode bandwagon. Mm-hmm. I know some people hate it because it is like so cringy and awkward.
Oh, it hurts.
But like, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Make a dreams come true. Like, come on.
Oh, I can't. Like, even just rehearing it, no.
So good. So yeah, that's kind of the format we're going to be following. We're gonna have some guests joining us along the way, like we said. So expect that at some point in the future. But we're just really excited to go on this journey, like, and take it like a little bit at a time. You know, one episode a week. It's gonna be tough, Stuart. I'm so ashamed of myself. I've already
How much have you watched?
I am so ashamed of myself. In the past like 3 days, I've watched 2 seasons.
Jessica!
I'm a monster. Listen, they're 20 minutes. It's so easy. They're so consumable. It's like candy.
It hurt me yesterday because we did a screening of it yesterday in the PSR Discord for a couple of people. And we kind of watched it all along together. And it came to like 21 minutes. And I was like, oh gosh, credits. Disconnect. No, don't watch next. It was so tempting because I was like, I want to know what happens. But also, it was 20 minutes.
Yeah, they're really bite-sized episodes. That's the great thing about a sitcom is you're not sitting there for like an hour and a half, you know? Like, it truly is bite-sized. So I'm a monster. What else do you know? You know, like, it's fine. I'm gonna rewatch these episodes like 6 times by the time we're through this because I'm going to end up having to rewatch them a million times just because how far ahead I'm binging. But let's talk about the pilot. I'm going to give a little quick recap of the pilot for those who didn't watch. So in the pilot of Schitt's Creek, we're introduced to the Rose family. Their lives are turned upside down when they discover that their business manager never paid taxes on any of their money, and the IRS comes knocking to repossess all of their lavish things. The family is left with some clothes and wigs and forced to move to the small town of Schitt's Creek, which Johnny bought as a joke for David when he was a kid. While we're at it, let's introduce our characters. We have Johnny Rose, the suit-wearing patriarch of the family, Moira Rose, who adores wigs. She's the matriarch. David Rose, their son, and Alexis Rose, the youngest daughter. Stuart, quick question. I want to interrupt myself here. I'm not sure if you're aware. Do you have any ideas? If you had to guess, how old is David and how old is Alexis? If you had to put some money
on it. Lord. Yeah. That's something I haven't even considered. They certainly don't seem to be like, I hope they're not playing teenagers because they.
I just think it's funny that they're called dependents because, like, they're out of dependent age.
I'm hoping that we're pitching for like early 20s here, and they are just
even older than that. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
I think Alexis is supposed to be like mid to late 20s, and David is like early 30s.
Okay, that's good then, because I don't feel quite so bad in kind of judging the whole situation. But like, they did give absolute kind of never left home entitled rich people like kind of vibes. Oh yeah. Lord.
So they do end up getting free rooms at the local motel where they meet Stevie, the dry and sarcastic motel worker, and Roland Shit, the town's ghastly mayor. Things immediately go awry when Johnny inadvertently insults Roland by telling him, and I quote, to get the fuck out. Which the great thing about this show is that we do get a couple F-bombs every episode because we're not on network TV. We could swear if we want.
Exactly.
And Roland has the doors of their motel rooms removed. Alexis has no plans to stay in Schitt's Creek as her wealthy boyfriend Stavros, apparently not the first Stavros she's dated, is supposed to come and pick her up. But by the end of the episode, he's broken up with her and the family is forced to make do in the two adjoining motel rooms in Schitt's Creek. And that's our episode. So a lot of setup in this episode, a lot of introduction of characters. Where do you want to start first, Stuart? Who do you want to chat about?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Who? I think I want to be drawn to the family. Of course, they're all fantastic. But, I mean, you warned me about it at the time, and I can't get over it. Roland Shit and that pillow. Like, what was going on?
It's so bad. Yeah, like, they obviously wanted him to look a little bit heavier than the actor who plays him is. And so he has this, like, again, it looks like a pillow. It looks like I shoved a pillow underneath a Chris Elliott's shirt to play Roland Shit. And then he also has that like teeny tiny blonde ponytail as well.
Yeah.
Which isn't as bad as the pillow because it doesn't look as fake. But yeah, the pillow is real. I find to be very distracting in the beginning of Schitt's Creek.
I'm not sure if it was. I noticed it because it was talked about and therefore I kept looking at it. But all I could notice was just like, that is clearly a pillow stuffed down underneath his shirt.
He looked like, why is no one addressing this?
Why are they the characters?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like he's under there, like trying to rob a Bed Bath and Beyond with like all the.
He just needs a throw pillow for the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you make of Roland? Because I found him to be, like, to me, I think I could see Roland being the reason that people don't get into the show right away. Because he is so, like, there's a lot of, like, fart and poop jokes in the first episode, which isn't always people's, you know, thing. Isn't always their taste.
Yeah, he was, like, I think intentionally, like, a little bit, not, a little one note in the sense that, like, he's just a disgusting guy who is, kind of, thinks of himself as being better than those that are coming in, or at least kind of automatically, like, kind of thinks that they are judging him. They absolutely are. And he is meant to be that kind of just abrasive character that they come up against. And he plays it perfectly. Like, I was immediately kind of like, oh, would you just leave? Why is he not leaving? And just the more and more it went on, I was getting more and more anxious.
Yeah.
And so when by the time that Johnny blows up at him, I'm just like, fuck yeah, Johnny. Like, tell him off. And then he's like, oh, that was maybe a bit too much. And like, I kind of overdid it. And I'm like, no, I think you threaded that needle perfectly, mate. I think that was a perfect reaction because it was fully justified. He's the worst.
He really is. Like, there's a lot of side characters in Schitt's Creek that we're going to be introduced to. Roland is like one of my least favorite just because this sort of character, you know, is not my favorite. He's there to make like the poop and fart jokes. Like, he's gross. His name literally sounds like you're saying Roland Shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's the joke, you know? We'll later meet his wife, who is, like, I think a very fun character.
Married?
He is married, yeah. So we'll meet his wife. But there are a lot of side characters we haven't met yet. But Roland is, in my opinion, like, you know, not one of my favorite side characters in Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one thing to kind of, like, fall into a thing and just, like, discover that someone's kind of awful. But when they kind of, like, introduce themselves and just say, yeah, the girls can get the bags kind of things, it's like, that kind of, like, just snide comment. It's just, like, immediately, just like, yeah, this guy's a nasty piece of work.
He's calling people honey, too, sweetheart. Mm. That quickest way to make me hate you is to call me, like, honey or sweetheart. Like, unless you're from, like, the South and a grandmother, you're not allowed. Like, it's simply not allowed. So yeah, Roland sucks. Let's stay off of the family and talk about Stevie, who works at the motel.
Okay. Iconic. Love Stevie immediately because Stevie is giving everything that Roland should be giving, from the sense that, like, she knows she's being judged. She doesn't think that she should be judged because she's got no reason to be judged. And so what does she do? She gives them sass. And she gives premium sass at that. That was, yeah. Very impressed with Stevie. Unsure as to what she does in her day, other than just play solitaire, it seems.
Oh, not much, because, I can't imagine. She works at a motel that, like, doesn't seem to do a lot of business. And I think, like, you know, once you get to know Stevie, I feel like it's like, yeah, it's no coincidence that she works at a job where she doesn't have to do much. You know, she's just sitting playing solitaire most of the day, I'd assume.
Yeah. But yeah, big fan of Stevie. Love the fact that she was giving it back to David, particularly, and also to Moira as well. When Moira's freaking out about the earrings, and then she's just like playing along, going, oh, I've got to go. I've got to like get to the pawn shop.
Yeah. Like, oh, I owe my crack dealer money. Let me go to the pawn shop.
Yeah.
And like Moira takes her completely at her word that she's like, she's going to the pawn shop.
The pawn shop.
Yeah, I do think, speaking of the way Moira speaks, you know, that is like a big thing on Schitt's Creek, is how Catherine O'Hara, like, how she plays Moira. I don't think she's in full Moira voice yet. I think, like, the first episode, she doesn't have as much of it, I noticed. But later, you'll really see, like, it's all about the delivery. Like,
yeah. I was expecting more of that, because I have, like, kind of what I have seen sparingly has mostly been memes about Moira and the way that she, like, talks and the weird stuff that she says. Like, the whole, like, David! Like, that kind of, like, that I can never really imitate perfectly. Yeah, that is what I was expecting. She kind of drifts in and out of it a little bit in this episode. There was quite a few scenes where she was like fairly kind of like, I was like, oh, that's Catherine O'Hara.
I watched an interview with her, and I can't remember what it was on. Again, it was TikTok, because most of my TikTok is Schitt's Creek. And it was Catherine O'Hara being asked, like, how to do an impression of Moira Rose. And she's like, the mistake most people make is making it any kind of consistent. Like, you need to be like so inconsistent about where you put your inflections and everything.
It's very Christopher Walken, like, in terms of like the cadence, isn't it?
Yes, it's really like the emphasis is always in weird spots. And I think there was another interview with Annie Murphy, who plays Alexis, and she was trying to do an impression of Catherine O'Hara doing Moira. And she was like, there's like specifically words where she says that Moira will like one syllable word that somehow Moira makes like seven syllables. Like, how, you know, how does she do it? So definitely more to come on Moira. Although I will say, of the four, you know, main characters, of the four roses, to me, Moira and like Moira feels, while the voice isn't there, I feel like we get a very good indication of who she is as a person in this episode. You know, like the screaming and the wigs, and like especially the very first scene we see her in, where she's packing her wigs and talking about how, no, this one doesn't like this one. You can't put them together.
It was just ridiculous. Like, the fact that she names the wigs, like, I think it was Kristen and Robin, and it's like, they don't like each other. I was like, okay, one thing, she's naming them. Secondly, she's giving them actual personalities. Thirdly, she's coming up with complex stories for them. This is a woman who lives in her own world, and I love it. I kind of am unsure as to, like, what she did in life, though. That's the weirdest thing. It's like, I know these people are rich, but I don't think I've got a grasp of, like, what they did in the previous life, or what they did in the kind of life that was given away.
Yeah, you'll definitely find out, like, how they made their money. Like, you'll find out what, like, Johnny did. I think the funny thing is, like, a lot of rich people in the real world, it's kind of like, what do they do now that they have all of this money, is like a good question that isn't always answered easily, I would say. But yeah, I think, like, the best part about Moira, obviously, one is the wigs, which we have like a whole section of the podcast dedicated to wig watch when we do get some of her wigs. Obviously, her outfits are like another, you know, interesting thing about her, something to certainly keep an eye on. Her first outfit in this episode is pretty wild, because it looks like someone took some scissors to a sweater almost and just started chopping it into pieces.
She was like, yeah, there's still three threads left. I'm still going to wear it.
Exactly. And something that I think you already knew about the show is, like, how involved Eugene and Dan Levy are in, like, the creation of it, you know? And Dan Levy especially, I think, was very, very involved in the wardrobe on the show. Like, I'm pretty sure he thrifted a lot of the outfits that both Moira and David wear.
Really? Oh, that's really interesting. Because, yeah, because looking at David's outfit, you're like, oh, Lord. Like, the three-quarter length, the really long tee, the kind of really gaudy like leather jacket. Apologies for anyone listening owns it. But yeah, like the outfits were a choice.
Yeah,
especially like the lack of color, like it really speaks to that kind of like, oh, I'm really rich, I must be kind of like very fashion.
Yeah,
fashion
very chic black and white people only. That like only wear black. Yeah, mm-hmm. Listen, as someone who owns a very light colored dog, could never be me, could never be the person who only wears black. I can appreciate it, but yeah, definitely. I think the wardrobe on this show is something to keep an eye on. I think Johnny kind of gets a little bit of the short shrift there, where he's wearing suits a lot of the time, which in my opinion is kind of boring. I feel bad for many.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it'll be like, instead of wig watch, it'll be like pocket square watch, where we're just looking out for that one burst of color that he'll maybe get every now and then.
Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about Johnny. I think Johnny's an interesting character. A lot of times he's like the straight man in the scenes. Yeah. Which, you know, I wouldn't ever want to play the straight man. It just seems like the least fun role to get to play, to be like the normal one when everyone else is flipping out. But he is the patriarch of the family. And what did you make of Johnny? What is your first impression of him?
It's kind of weird, because I think Gene Levy can often he's the dad from American Pie. Like, he is the straight guy who has the comedic. Yeah, he has the kind of like the go-to lines that the straight man has in the kind of the whole show, which ends up being the funniest kind of thing. And it's much of the same role. But I get the impression that this is very kind of different, because it doesn't feel too kind of cliche a little bit. Like, he's kind of falling into that kind of cliche role, but I can get the sense that he's like, I don't know, like there's something a little bit more there than what there kind of was previously. I love the fact that he is coming out with some kind of like, I thought some really good delivery, especially like the whole thing about why did you buy the town? Like, how do you buy the town kind of like situation? And he's like, well, that's the joke is buying the town. Like, he's very kind of like earnest in his kind of just embracing who he is, which is this kind of like entitled rich person who doesn't really seem to have morals when it comes to like kind of wealth discrepancy. And so I kind of like the fact that he is just playing who he is. I was a big fan of Johnny. Johnny actually was one that surprised me. I didn't think I'd like his character as much as I did.
Yeah, I don't think this will surprise you to hear that, like, when people are listing their favorite Schitt's Creek characters, I feel like it's rare for someone to say Johnny is their favorite, because he is the more centered character, I would say. Like, he's a little more like calm. Like, he's not as out there as like a Moira or like a David. And so I think a lot of times he kind of flies under the radar a little bit, but I want to keep an eye on him, because in a lot of ways I do think like he's the glue. And so, like, I think like you can't have the show without Johnny, you know what I mean? Like, he really is the glue that holds the family together in a lot of ways. So definitely a character to keep an eye on. Let's talk about the kids a little bit. Who do you want to start with, Alexis or David?
Oh gosh, I mean, both are an absolute shit show between the two of them. I mean, I think Alexis, let's like kind of let's start with her first. I mean, from starting out as just being the bratty younger sibling, like the whole like, you do it, no, you do it,
and you get murdered first, David. You get murdered first.
That is so ridiculous. Why don't you get murdered first for once? For once. Like, how dumb is it?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, but also like, I hate that I felt sorry for her in a way for this, when she was like, talking about Stavros and how he was like stringing her along, and like how she was willingly going along with it. And like, what was it she said? It was something like, oh, he just maybe said potentially he could see himself considering saying I love you.
Saying I love you at some point soon.
Oh, girl, come on.
Yeah.
For someone who is as kind of entitled, you would think that they have a little bit more self-respect, but sadly no.
Yeah, Alexis is, I do think Alexis is someone who, she will say certain things so casually that you're like, excuse me, what? Like, you have to like lean in, you're like, what did you just say? So keep an eye on that, because she is someone who like has a more interesting backstory than you would think at a glance. But I do think like Annie Murphy is like absolutely perfect in this role. Originally, they actually had someone different, and she came in as a replacement. And could not be a better pick for Alexis Rose. Like, she always keep an eye on her hands. She always is like doing, I think the actress Annie said that she used to pretend that she was holding a little purse when she was Alexis, because
that makes a lot of sense.
Keep her hands. Yeah. But yeah, she feels very lived in to me. Like, I feel like this is the character. This truly is the character, and she has it from minute one on the show. Mm-hmm. Especially the sibling rivalry. Like, anybody who has siblings can relate to, like, the "you get murdered first, David. You get murdered first."
And it's like, you don't want to get drawn into it, but like, you can't help it. Like, if they give you it, you've got to give it back, and you've got to like one up them at every stage. I also love the fact that she is kind of like mimicking Moira's inflections a little bit. Like, at the beginning, she was like, "they're taking our stuff." And it's like really kind of exaggerated emphasis on like the wrong parts, really. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was really impressive. But then, oh gosh, just the bickering, I can't get over it. Like, there's just so much of it, and it gives me a little bit of PTSD, because I'm like, I've got a brother who's 7 years younger than me. And so inevitably, I was the older sibling who was constantly being drawn into younger bickering and often getting told off for it. So I'm like, oh, rage.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how quickly they devolve back. And this is so relatable. As anybody who has siblings knows, I feel like if you have a rough relationship with your sibling, it immediately improves when you're not under the same roof. Like, if you're not living together, I feel like the relationship is like, okay, you know, it increases by tenfold. But then, of course, as soon as they're back under the same roof, having to share a room with a twin bed each, they go from living this like lavish mansion to this rinky dink motel, having to share a room. It of course is going to start, you know, with them bickering. They're of course going to get under each other's skin. And yeah, I just love David's justification of, well, this is the bed that someone will get murdered in, and I don't want to get murdered. So I'm going to take this bed.
Yeah. And of course she claps back with, "what, you're just going to watch me get murdered?" And then then what?
Yeah. And especially because physical comedy for me isn't always my favorite. Like, I'm not super into like slapsticky stuff a lot of the time. But something about them sitting at this diner, which is also going to be like a recurring set, you know, they go to the diner a lot, and these massive, massive diner menus.
I couldn't get over it. Like, literally, I wrote some notes up for this, and in all caps, it's just the freaking menus. Mm-hmm. Why are they so big? Like, what is
it's just an American, well, it's not an American diner, but it's a North American diner. Gotta have a ginormous menu that serves literally, you could have anything you want at any time of the day.
What I really admire about it, though, is you've got the menu on like what seemed to be like a regular like size sheet of paper, and then a huge border around it to make every single like sheet even larger. Then it's laminated as well, and there's three and it's, like, pages trifold, of it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, I have a question, and this is going to be a thing. Okay. If people don't know already, this is going to be a thing that's going to happen a lot on the podcast, all right? So you're just going to have to get used to it. And if it bothers you, I'm so sorry, but this probably isn't the podcast for you. But Stuart, do they have diners in the UK? Do you have like diners where you could go to a restaurant that's kind of like, you know, you're not going to get the best quality food ever, but you could order breakfast anytime you want. You know what I mean? Like, do you have anything like that?
Not really. We do have like a couple of American diners in London, and there's a couple that like stay open really late and stuff, but diner culture isn't a thing. Like,
that's really sad though.
Getting a top up of like kind of coffee just isn't a common thing to experience. And like, this is why I think a lot of people, when we come over to the US, we go to a diner because we want to have that experience. We want to sit and eat like pancakes and waffles and all sorts of confectionery that you all seem to have for breakfast, strangely enough.
And we eat a lot of sugar at breakfast. We eat a lot of sugar in general.
So strange. I mean, high fructose corn syrup is what I hear.
Yes. Yeah, you really, I mean, the best thing about diners is obviously you could get like eggs anytime you want. But also just like the shiny aesthetic. There's something so funny to me about like everything being like metal and shiny. While simultaneously it's kind of gross in there, but like a good gross, you know?
Is everything a little bit tacky, like in terms of like
sometimes stickiness? The table, yeah. That's. I think you're thinking more of a Denny's. Like, I would attribute that a little bit more to like a Denny's, where Denny's is like kind of gross, but there's a reason people frequent chains, and it's because you know what you're going to get. So it's like, yeah. Yes, it's gross, but I know what to expect. And sometimes you just want trashy food, you know?
Yeah. See, we have like cafes here and stuff like that, where you'd go for like the typical full English breakfast. Like ordinarily, like pubs will try and like steal that from them and stuff like that. But like proper cafes where builders go for their kind of like brew in the morning kind of thing, where you get these really wide plates and a full English breakfast. That's, I think, probably the closest we really have to diners.
Yeah, but you guys are eating like beans thing. And stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Don't diss beans. Like, no, we can't go into this.
I love beans. it's not a thing here. It's like, if you're getting breakfast, you're getting like eggs cooked however you want them. Usually some kind of a meat, either like ham, bacon, sausage. You're getting toast. Mm-hmm. And you're getting like either a hash brown or like a home fry.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like, four things that are perfectly acceptable. Problem is there is you're missing, like, kind of the copious amounts of, like, sausages. Also, fried tomato, fried bread.
Oh, no, we don't do that. Fried
black pudding. Bread? You never had fried bread?
Is it, like, French toast?
No, it's, like, a slice of white plain bread fried.
You deep fry it? Do they cover it in batter? Yeah.
No, just fried. It's like, okay, you bite into it and it's like, sure, moist from all the oil, and it sounds disgusting, but yeah, honestly, when you're hungover, it's like,
I was
the best
just
cure
gonna say
world.
It sounds like hangover food.
Oh yeah, that's all British like kind of breakfast food is. It's
that's
just
fair.
Hangover
it's
just cures
a pub on every corner. Hangover food constantly. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Well, this isn't, I guess technically the place they're eating isn't, I don't know if I would consider it a diner. It's called Cafe Tropical. I don't know if you knew the name, but
I was wondering if it was going to be fancy like Cafe Tropical, or
yeah,
whether it was,
I mean,
just
I don't know how to,
Cafe Tropical.
It's spelled like tropical, but like probably that's like they call it Tropical, and they just don't have the little thingy on the A or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we also are introduced to Twyla, who is another character.
Phenomenal
and she,
name.
Yeah, of course. I mean, with a Y, naturally. And she is also played by another Levy. So we have all the Levies represented on this show.
Oh, really? I
didn't know. Yeah, so she is Dan's sister and Eugene's daughter is Twyla.
Is she going to be a recurring character?
Yes. Yeah, she will be. Because this is like we have obviously the motel being like a major location we're going to be. Cafe Tropical is another location we're going to be hanging out a lot in. So you're going to see a lot of Twyla.
Good. Looking forward to that.
There are really
giant menus. If they get bigger in size over the course of the season, I'm gonna be very happy.
I think they stay the same size, but you're gonna meet a lot of side characters, and there are certain side characters that I'm really excited for you to meet because they're so fun. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't introduce everybody in the first episode because they have a lot to do. But yeah, so those are kind of our major players. Any thoughts on Alexis? Poor Alexis getting broken up with here. Stavros just he says, sorry, not gonna happen, I'm not coming to get you.
I mean, it's almost like Stavros was really late to like hearing what the actual news was. Mm-hmm. I think that like probably just woken up in the afternoon and doesn't realize kind of what's going on. It's like, oh no, I shouldn't have said that. But also like, fair to be short of him, like offering Johnny lines at his 60th birthday and going to P. Diddy's white party, which like even now is, I think back then was probably a bad look, now is even a worse look.
Yeah
Probably best to be shot of him.
It's so perfect. I just love how angry everyone is. I love that the rooms are connected, they're adjoining rooms with the door. Just because, and it's perfect, the family drama. We have the siblings fighting while the parents are just like looking at each other like, oh my god, like why is this our life now? So certainly more fun to come on that front. Any other thoughts that you have on the pilot before we get into some ratings?
Some curious things I took note of mm-hmm. was just the sign outside where it was advertising refrigerated air and push button phones. This is the level we're dealing with, people. Like yeah. that really made me laugh. Also, just the line, my son is afraid of moths. That really cracked me up. I was like, I don't
know why.
That's going
to come back around.
Oh, no. I love this. I'm so happy. Yeah, and then, of course, the bumper sticker of a naked Helen Mirren just adding to making Roland just the worst.
Yeah, yep. And it's interesting because they don't, they got there by bus. Doesn't seem like they have a car. So they really are restricted in where they can go in Schitt's
Creek. Yeah, they are without a paddle. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into some readings. So we have, we're going to be giving out MVPs and LVPs, which we have named. The MVP is simply the best, which is a reference you won't understand for quite a while. Yeah. And also the disgruntled pelican is the LVP, which I think you'll learn about a little bit sooner than simply the best. From my memory.
Great. Can't wait for like half a year to go by before I get these references.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Okay, so let's start off with the MVP. Who are you vibing with? I guess we never really discussed this. Do we each want to give out an MVP? Do we want to have to come to a joint decision on an MVP? What are we thinking?
Oh, I mean, I'm a bit on the fence. I mean, anyone could take it this week. I think it's like kind of up there for most. I think if we both give one.
And yeah, let's do it. Let's each give 1 point for an MVP and then each give one for an LVP.
Okay, so who would I go for? I mean, just for a strong start, I'm going to go Moira. Like, the screaming, the wigs, the absolute, meltdown over the earrings and falling to the floor and screaming at the luggage. Also, picking up a random light bulb and just, literally dissociating for a good 2 seconds before she screamed.
She lifts the ice bucket lid and looks at it and screams it for no reason.
Like, just unhinged in the most perfect way. I loved it so much.
Yeah. So I do have a favorite character, but I will say, I think for this episode, I'm going to give my point to Alexis because I just think, she's so fully formed in the first episode and we get so many Davids. I couldn't. I was so pleased with her. So I'm going to give my point to Alexis. And then we have our disgruntled pelican. Stuart, who do you want to give the LVP to this episode?
I mean, have a guess. It's got to be
Is it someone who took too much time in the bathroom? This also looks like he's smuggling pillows.
Just leave. Just leave. Know the social cue and take it. Just leave.
Also, the thought of some random stranger who looks kind of grody sitting on my bed. The amount that I want to just dry heave because it is so vile to me. He has so many germs on him, you know?
Is the thing, kind of the motel, it looked bad, but it kind of didn't look that bad. But still, I was feeling for David when he was walking around, just kind of looking at everything and kind of everything that just kind of mildly
happened. The half chewed apple on the table, he gets too close to it. He gets way too close to it.
Inspected it like it was a piece of art at first. almost expecting it not to be an apple. I was like, no, it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, great.
It's a gross apple.
Yeah. And then, and Roland just absolutely kind of playing into that, sitting in all their space and just grubbing out the place in the bin.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm also giving my LVP to Roland. He's disgusting. He's gross. The pillow is so distracting. I find it to be so, so supremely distracting. And he's just nasty. First of all, don't do a number two in someone else's bathroom, especially if you've not even met them and it's their only bathroom and they're already having a rough time. You know, that's just a rude thing to do. And then
especially if you live down the road as well.
Open. Yeah, he lives.
Oh, the window's open. Oh. The smell, can you imagine?
I don't want to think about it.
No, yeah. Don't. Yeah, please.
All right, it's time to we're gonna tier rank the episodes. So I am gonna share my screen, so if you're watching us on YouTube you will be able to see our tiers, and we're gonna do every single episode this way. So let's talk through the tiers. Let's start from top to bottom. So we're starting out with Hot Shit. That is the highest episode, the best possible, ranking you could get. Best episode, Hot Shit.
Makes sense. Nice. Yeah.
Full Bouquet, they're the roses, Bouquet of Roses.
Ha-ha. Okay, it makes sense. That one you get. I was wondering if it was just a reference I didn't get again.
No. next tier is Love That Journey for Me, which this reference, I think you will get the quickest out of almost anything. I believe it comes up very soon.
I'm thinking this is middle of the road. And is this an average episode or is this average. Better than average?
Yeah, I'd say this is average. Okay. This is it's okay. It's pretty good. Cool. Then we have Ew David, which I think you already did. Did Alexis say Ew David this episode?
I can't. I don't think she did.
I know she said David a lot, but.
Yeah. I don't think she said Ew David. No.
Well, you'll hear this very soon. Trust
me.
So that is a below average episode. And then Straight Shit Out of Luck is the very bottom of the tier. It's just not very good, I would say. So our first episode, season 1, episode 1, Our Cup Runneth Over. What are you thinking, Stuart? Where's your gut telling you to put this?
This is the thing, like, with hearing that it only gets better and better, I kind of don't want to start us too high, but yeah. then equally, I don't want to like award it anything bad because it wasn't a bad episode. This was a perfectly good episode. I'm going to be real neutral. I think that there's probably a case for just Love That Journey for me.
Yeah. What I would say is, because this is where it's going to get a little tricky, because I have the full context. So like, I know where I would put this in terms of the show in general, you know, like where I would put this. Also, just an FYI, I think we're going to probably reset this every season because my memory is so bad. Like if we're on season three trying to be like, is this better than the pilot? I'm not going to remember. So I think we're probably going to end up resetting this every season. But my gut instinct is to say it's probably a little below average and it probably belongs in like the Ew David category. Not to say it's a bad episode. Again, like the name makes it sound like it's terrible, but it's just a little below average because they have so much work to do, to like a lot of exposition to set us up.
I think that sets us up really well because then we're kind of like going in with the ambition of these episodes getting better, which is giving me a lot of hope for the rest of the series. And so I'm not begrudging that. Also, I think if anything was worse than this, then I would probably like say it's shit out of luck because this episode was perfectly serviceable, but like could have been funnier.
Yeah, could there's a lot of other characters that like you haven't met yet. There's like a lot of comedy from like the interactions they have with the locals that like obviously we didn't have really time to get into because they're just getting to town. So there's a lot of funny stuff to come. And I know a lot of people, like, this is a very common thing where people say like, oh, season one isn't as good as the rest, which I would agree with, but I think it gets good quicker than your Parks and Recs, quicker than some other shows that, you know, people compare it to. So we'll leave this one in the Ew David category. Stuart, you saw the title of the next episode. It is called The Drip. Do you have any idea what that might be in reference to?
I think it might have something in reference to the awful motel that they're in currently. that perhaps there might be a leak.
Do you all in the UK, do you call it like drip coffee? Like, have you ever...
You mean like in your little machines where you've got the like filters and stuff like that? Yeah,
drip coffee.
Yeah, we don't really have like those kind of coffee machines that often. We have like the fancier new ones and stuff, but drip coffee really isn't... Yeah, but like I think those are probably more prominent than like your standard typical like jar of black coffee that seems to be in like American breakfast.
So if I were to go to like a cafe or like a coffee shop, I don't know if you even like tea shop, I guess. Are there going to be like more types of tea available than types of coffee if I were to walk?
No, there'd be more coffee. Like coffee shops are a big thing over here. And like we do have tea houses where you can go for like a delightful cup of tea and a cake.
Oh, and little like sandwiches, like little baby sandwiches.
Like it gets a little fancy and stuff like that. But yeah, if you go to a coffee place, it's gonna be like tons and tons of coffee, but it's gonna be like lattes and kind of that.
The way you just said that with disdain, as if lattes aren't delicious. Latte.
I'm a tea drinker. I will
you
judge
people and your foamy milk. Get out of here. We're also gonna have a Moira wig watch. Wow, that's gonna be really tough to say going forward. But she doesn't really, she just packs her wigs this episode. She's not really wearing any of them.
Yeah, I mean, she screamed about their welfare and the fact that they don't like each other. I think that's enough for one episode. Maybe, but I'm looking forward to seeing the variety. I've seen a lot of pictures and they go all over the place, so
they do not disappoint. So that is our episode. Again, if you haven't subscribed, Talking Shit, TALKIN, why did I spell that? Just no G, just don't put a G on the word talking. And then shit on social media, the same thing on YouTube. You can email us, just, you know, participate. It's fun. We're gonna have a great time. This is gonna be a really fun time, Stuart.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really hoping we can hopefully get some feedback from people. We can like talk about it on here, talk about why some people's opinions are right, why some people's opinions are probably going to be wrong. Let's get into it.
Exactly. So that's everything we have for you this week. We're going to be back next week with season one, episode 2, The Drip. So until then, everyone, have a good one. Bye.